Praise Lord, and good to be back again on a Wednesday night to continue in our study on the parables that we've been going through for the past a few months. Today we will look into Matthew chapter 25, verses 31. We'll continue all the way down to verse 46. Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 all the way to 46. The main passage is from 31 to 36, but I think for the context that we have this evening, it's best to kind of go through the entire passage to the end of the chapter. So the passage is all about the judgment of the Gentiles. So we'll start with 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him. He will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides sheep from the goat. And he will set a sheep on his right hand, the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, surely I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did to me. Then he also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit. Then they also will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison, or did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, surely I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to the least of these, you did not do anything. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So this is a long passage, but as we were studying about the parables, I was thinking that this is a little different than the normal parable that we studied, because this has a context into the future of what will happen. And we see the judgment of the Gentiles, or the judgment of the nation. And we also see the division of the sheep and the goats. It has a little bit of a prophetic perspective. So I would entitle this as a prophetic parable, where you have a piece of it which talks about the future. But here we see that the Son of Man is coming in his glory. And the king will be sitting on his glorious throne, and the nations will gather around him or before him. And then we see a great separation, great division. But here we see in the first two verses, 31 and 32, that the Son of Man is coming and the nations will be gathered before him. And then we see the separation that's happening, that he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. So, keeping that in context, as you go back to the beginning of the chapter, we see the parable of the virgins, and then we see the parable of the talent. So the parable of the 10 virgins are talking or teaching us about the unexpected arrival of the groom. And he talks about or emphasizes the fact that preparation is a key. So that is what we see in the first parable. And the parable of the talents, which comes after that, we see the need to work and to be faithful. So if you keep those in context, and then we come into this passage, which talks about day of the Lord and the great separation, we see there's a connection there. There that the preparation has to be for the future. It is an unexpected arrival of the Son of Man. And then it also reminds us that even as we study this prophetic piece of it, there is a need for us to be faithful to continue to work, because the time is at hand. And we have to be fruitful, because the time is at hand and the day of the Lord will come anytime. So the verses 31 and 32 talks about the day of the Lord. And then we see the separation. So if you look at the Bible, as I was reading, I was intrigued by the fact that scholars have said 1/4 of the Bible do predict future events. But the interpretations can vary. But the essence of what we study from this passage or the entire passage about future events is that the Lord wants us to live life of expectation and being prepared for his future. So that is the essence of what we study in this passage and in the entire Word of God, that the Bible is predicting the future events for us to be aware of, so that we would have a better understanding. We would know what is coming, that we would live our lives in anticipation of his return. And also, as we are preparing for his return, that we do have a ministry to do, that is to continue to do the work of the Lord. Because the Lord Jesus has said that a night is coming where work cannot be done. So if you keep that as a pattern, that for us also, we can see that the night is coming and soon the work will be done. So we have to be living our lives in expectation and in preparation for the Lord's return. So in this passage, the future events is about the second coming of the Lord. And if you study those passages together, we can see that the great tribulation happens. Then you have the millennial reign of Christ, the final judgment, and the eternal rewards and punishments. And all these things are coming together in the end times. So we know in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, where we see that we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each of us will have to receive the things done in our body, whether it's good or bad. In a sense that if it's rewards or punishment, that we will stand before the throne of God and we would receive what we have done before. So there's no exception to the rule, that we are all standing before the Lord Jesus Christ, expecting rewards, if not punishment for what we did not do. In Ezekiel chapter 20 and verse 38, and now this is in relation to Israel, the Lord is saying that I will purge the rebels from among you, and those who transgress against me, I will bring them out of the country where they dwell, but they shall not enter the land of Israel. Then you will know that I am there. So the Lord is very emphatic, even dealing with Israel. And he talks about the fact that he would show favoritism or show favor to the people of Israel, but then those people who rebel and transgress against him would be thrown out, and they will not enter the land of Israel. And we see a similar picture, and he says that then you will know that I'm. And in the end times, we would see a similar picture with the Lord Jesus coming down in glory. And we know that when he came the first time, he came as a humble child, innocent child. And he was ridiculed and tormented. And we know that he was manhandled. And reading those passages, you wonder how the Lord was able to keep his humility standing. But he had a mission. But when he comes again, we know he's coming as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's an entirely different picture. Here we see the Son of Man comes in his glory and with all the angels, holy angels with him. And he will sit on the throne of God. What an amazing picture, which is so contrasting to what we see from the initial time that he came. So the Lord Jesus has already promised, even in John chapter 14, talking with his disciples, that he has been encouraging them through those passages in those chapters right before he was taken from them. But he had said that in my Father's house there are many mansions, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. If it's not so, I would have told you. Then he said that I will come again and receive you to myself, and where I am, there you may be also. And this is the promise that the Lord had given to the people, or the disciples, that this is a promise for each one of us, that he is preparing a place, and he would soon come back to take his people. And in Acts chapter 1, we see the angels are saying, the way that he had gone up into the sky, he's going to come back like man. When people were looking up into the sky when he was taken up, and he had, the angels have said, in like manner, he is going to come back. So prophecies have always talked about the Lord's return. It is a return that could be seen in two different ways. For the children of God, it is a great joy to know that the Lord is coming back for each one of them. But for those who do not know him, you know, they will face the wrath, where the judgment is, the door of mercy is closed, and then they would face. And we read in 2 Timothy chapter 3 in verse 1, again, we see in the New Testament many references to the end time. We see that perilous times will come in the last days. And we see that when the Lord returns, we have the millennial reign, which we see in Revelation chapter 20, where we see the golden age of prosperity and peace for the people of God. And then after that is the final rebellion by Satan, where he will be bound. And then the final judgment we see, where the redeemed are identified and the faithful are evaluated. If you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we'll quickly go through a few passages. Book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 through 15. Starting in verse 13, each one's work will be clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. The fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, for he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. We see that the redeemed are identified and the faithful are being tested and evaluated against what they have done. But then on the contrary, we read in Revelation chapter 20 how the unredeemed are condemned. We turn to Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. I don't want to read the entire passage, but this is talking about the great white throne judgment. And we see that the books are open, and then the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. And the sea gave up the dead. And then we see that the dead, death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So we see that the judgment for the believers first is the unbelievers. And we see that the rewards are given to believers and punishment also to those who do not follow the Lord Jesus. There are many passages to that. Quickly reading Revelation chapter 22, 3 to 5. We read, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night. They need no lamp nor light of the sun. The Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. We see the eternity for those who trust in the Lord. But then on the other side, we see in the passage that we read in Matthew 25, and we see that those who are cursed are sent to the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. So in this passage, coming back to Matthew 25, we see that the works is going to reveal who we are. And this passage, we see that the king is going to separate the sheep from the goats. And this is a picture from the Old Testament where we see the separation between the sheep and the goats, or on the seashore, we see that the good fish and the bad fish would be separated. So there's a separation happening And in this passage, we see that the goats are separated from the sheep. The sheep represent those who are in the Lord Jesus Christ, those who are saved, and the goats represent those who are not. In James chapter 2, we talk about the works which is needed for a believer. Now, in this passage, as we read, sometimes we might think that the works will gain you salvation. But we know that works is only confirming a person's salvation, and not it does not give you salvation. It will be read in James chapter 2 that works with faith without works is dead. Can faith save him? And we see that faith by itself, if it does not have works, it is dead. The works is a part of our being as believers. We have to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and 16, Paul writes that the Lord show mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he oftentimes refreshed me and was not ashamed of my pain. So we see the household of this dear believer who had always refreshed Apostle Paul. And he is praying that the Lord will grant him mercy. And in Mark chapter 9 and 41, we see that whoever gives you a cup of water to drink in my name, because it belongs to Christ, assuredly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. So living out our lives and doing the work of the Lord is essential for a believer. So in this passage in Matthew chapter 25, we see the separation happening. And we see the separation happening. It teaches a simple truth that the Lord is judging the world by what and how they live. If you have Christ in your life, or if you don't have Christ, then your life is doomed. If you have Christ, then your works have to reveal who you are. So here we see the Lord Jesus is coming with his holy angels. And these angels are not only attendants, but they're also ministers of justice. And in a sense, they will be calling the court, gathering the elect. And then we see that they will bundle the tares, and they will be witnesses of the saints in glory. And also they will be witnesses of the sinner's misery. So just imagine a court. But the Lord Jesus is sitting on the throne. Angels are witnessing this great separation that is happening. They will gather the court into session. They will separate. They will see what is happening. That these people will be separated. That the tares or the weeds will be taken away from the good stuff. And then the angels will witness the saints who will be glorified. But at the same time, they will witness the sinners' misery. And we know in the 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that we see the beautiful passage that the Lord will descend from heaven with the shout with the voice of an archangel and the trump of God. Here again we see that the angels are coming down with him when he comes down in glory. And the Lord will be sitting on the throne, and the nations will be gathered around him, as we see in verse 32. So the separation is happening in a sense that we see that the good and the bad fish being separated at the seashore, as fishermen, as the disciples, when they were doing work for becoming the disciples, that's what they did. They would bring the fish onto the land, then they would separate the good from the bad, or the corn will be separated from the chaff. The wicked will be separated from the God. But the Lord knows exactly who belongs to him. And that is an encouraging fact for us. As we come to know him, the Lord knows that we are his. So this picture is also as an analogy of the shepherd's picture in the Old Testament time, where the shepherd would send out the sheep and the goat into the pasture. And then by evening time, they would come back and they would be separated into their own fold. Sheep will go into its own pen and the goats will go into their own pen. So this is the picture that we see from the Old Testament time. That the sheep represent godly people, innocent, mild, patient, and useful. So when you look at the character of a sheep, you see they are very innocent, very timid animal, very mild, and they are quick to fear. But on the goats are seen as unsavory and unruly. So that's a picture of the wicked. So they all feed together during the daytime. And by evening, the shepherd would come and separate them. Then they would go into the respective fold. And that is the picture that we see here in a spiritual sense, that the sheep will be removed from the goats. And then the glory will be conferred on the godly. They would be acquitted, preferred, and rewarded, as we see in verse 34. The king will say to those on the right hand, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." What a beautiful picture that we see, a beautiful picture of acceptance. It kind of brings back the picture of the prodigal son, that the father was waiting at the doorstep for days and months, expecting his son to return. And then when the son came back, rejected, and as a destitute, the father runs to him, embraces him, and brings him back as if nothing has happened. That's a beautiful picture of acceptance that we see in the same passage, that the Lord is saying, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." What a picture of what God had planned for each one of us, way before we can even imagine, even before the world has begun, that God had prepared the way of salvation, and he knew who all will come to know him. And here in this passage, glory is being conferred on the godly for what they have done. And we see those heroes of faith, even in the book of Hebrews, what they went through in life. We see the disciples in the book of Acts, the way they have gone through. And we see that all except John were martyred. Life wasn't easy for them, but they held their ground. They were faithful till the very end. And we know that they and all godly people who are waiting for the Lord's return, glory will be conferred to them, and they would be acknowledged and blessed of the Lord. Here we see in that passage that kingdom prepared for you. So I just want to bring up that fact, the kingdom, there is a kingdom waiting for us, for those who have done the work of the Lord, those who have endured the days of perilous time. And when we look forward to the Lord's return, there is a home waiting for each one. When the prodigal son returned, he never knew that there was a home waiting for him. He didn't know exactly how the father would react. But we know that we would be acknowledged, rewarded, and invited into God's kingdom. And to know that this kingdom has been prepared, not only prepared, it is prepared for them, for us. And that makes it very personal, that we can look forward to this happy moment that a kingdom has been prepared for us. Psalm 113 and 7, we read that he raises the poor out of the dust and lifts the needy out of the ash heap. As we think about what the Lord is giving to each one of us, we can identify ourselves as being coming out of the dust. No one, nobody. But the Lord has lifted us up from the ash heap and made us fit with the princes and all. So what a great transformation God has given to us. And not only that, as we continue the work of the Lord and anticipate his return, to know that he would acknowledge each one of us and that he would take us into his kingdom, that to know that he has chosen us even before the foundation. So what an amazing picture. But then we see here that the righteous are asking the Lord in verse 37, "When did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink?" So that talks about the humility of the righteous. They're not even thinking that they are doing something and expecting something back in return. And they are kind of surprised when the Lord is saying these words, and they're saying, "When did I even do these?" You know, they're not doing it out of waiting for a reward, but they were faithful. They were doing just their job as believers, witnessing for the Lord through life and in deed and in word. And those who put on clothes need clothes to keep them warm. We live in a world where we need to keep others warm. Those who are spiritually warm, we have to keep them and then bring people into the Lord's presence. So the works of charity is a proof of our love. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and 13, we read, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them and all men. So the works of charity is a proof of our love. So the question that they raise shows the humility of those who do charity, especially knowing that they're not worthy to begin and they're not expecting anything in return. But the Lord is acknowledging them and bringing them to his side, just like when the Lord met Nathanael in John chapter 1. And he had said to him, how do you know me? And he said, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. It's a picture of the Lord knowing each one of us, even before we know ourselves, that he has seen us even before we have come into being. So the works of the saints are reproduced on that great day. When the court is in session, they are acknowledged and remembered. But at the same time, we see that there's a sentence passed on to the wicked. And hell is a prepared place for them. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 31. But this passage teaches us that it'll remind us again and again that we have to be faithful, do the work of the Lord while it is still day. And the night is coming and there is no more work. But then on the other side, we see what is happening to those who are wicked. So in closing, as an application, what I think is that this passage should remind us that the day is coming and the work of the Lord is continuing to happen till he comes. The door of mercy will be closed any time. So what is our responsibility as we read this passage? Let us continue to do the Lord's work. Let us do charity to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Let us continue to do the work of the Lord, what he has started, witnessing and bringing people to the Lord's side. And knowing that the day of judgment is waiting for those who are yet standing outside. And let us continue to live our lives, bringing people to the fold of God. And may God help us be doing that. Let us close in prayer, and then we will go into the prayer request. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time that we could study this portion to be able to understand that your coming is imminent, to know that we can anticipate with happiness looking forward to what is waiting for each one. But at the same time, Lord, we know that the perilous times are coming and the wicked will be cast out. We just pray, Lord, that you would help us be reminded of the great mission that is in front of us, that we would continue to do the work of the Lord until your return is coming. We just pray, Lord, that you would give us a grace be faithful in what we do. We pray, Lord, that you would strengthen us, that we would do your work faithfully till the very end. We thank you for this time. Jesus' precious name. Amen.